Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. On Tuesday, we started with what I call Enter the Kingdom. We read from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, the discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus. And then we went to the beginning, and we looked at the making of man. And we saw that God made man in his own image and after his likeness. And we said that image refers to the design of man, the architecture of man, which we eventually said would be the spirit, soul, and body. Three entities packaged into one man. And we said the reason that this is the image of God is because the Godhead is also made of three entities. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We said that God is a different kind of spirit because all spirits have two components. They have spirit and soul. They do not have a body like this. But the Bible says God is a spirit, but God has three components. He has the equivalent of the spirit, and he is the Holy Spirit, and the soul, and that is the Father, and the equivalent of the body, and that is the Christ. And in all of the years that you have studied the Word of God, or you have had people minister to you, you have never had anybody say, the body of the Holy Spirit. Do they say that?
No.
You have never had anybody say, the body of the Father. No. The body of who? Christ. It's always the body of Christ because he is the body component of the Godhead. And that is the same reason that he is the one who came here bodily. And that is the same reason why the scripture says, for in him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you follow me? Okay. He is the equivalent of the body. For the same reason, we're told Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the visible form of the invisible God. Because he's the body component. You can see him. In all the years that you have known me, you have never seen my soul. My soul is invisible. The Father is the equivalent of the soul. He is invisible. But you have seen my body. My body is the visible form of my soul. Praise the Lord. If you could see my soul, like I said last week, if somebody dies and his spirit departs, if you could see him, you will see your head, two hands, two legs. You follow me? So the soul inside of you has the same shape as your body. So you are the visible form of that soul. Hallelujah. Okay, when the disciples said, show us the Father, they didn't realize what they were asking for. When they said, show us the Father, that was, show us the invisible God. How can you see the invisible? Do you follow me now? See, there are things we read in the scriptures. Until we begin to search properly, we won't see why certain answers are given. Jesus said, have you been with me so long, and you're still asking to see the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. You cannot see the invisible God. I am the one that you can see because I am his body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then we went into Genesis chapter 3 and we said that God had instructed them not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. You know the story very well. But the devil came and beguiled a very curious Eve. And she ate. And she gave to her husband who was with her. And he ate. And they died. Praise the Lord. But they did not drop dead. They were still living, moving about, eating, talking. In fact, it was after that that Adam knew his wife. And she bare Cain. Do you follow my point? So, a dead individual can go about practicing different activities. We said that the reason is that when God made man, God made them a living soul. A dead soul is not the one that's laid in the grave. A living soul is the one that has spirit attached to it. So that by spirit, we can commune with the spirit of God. Spirit relating with spirit. A dead soul is the one that cannot commune with the spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we said that is why Jesus said, any living being who believes in me will never die. But anybody who is dead, who doesn't have me, have you? But who decides to believe in me will also do what? Live, right? Then he will live. What he's saying is that once my spirit is applied to you, you become a living soul again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Before we accepted Jesus, we were dead. After we accepted him, we were quickened into new life. We started to glow with life by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so after they had sinned, God drove them away from the Garden of Eden. And in one of the books that I was writing, I said, when God said, you get out of the garden, go and eat herbs, go and eat grass. So when you say somebody fell from grace to grass, you are talking about Adam. You follow my point? That God had given them so much grace. God himself planted a garden and put them in there. But when he drove them out, he said, go and eat grass, go and eat the herbs, praise the Lord. I was saying in one of the books that I was writing, I said, when God said, go out and eat herbs, they would not have known the implication because they had never suffered. They didn't know what it was. They had never seen anybody who was suffering. There were no other people. You follow my point? When God said, in your sweat you will eat, they had not been sweating. Praise the Lord. See, they wouldn't know the implications. I was speaking somewhere. I said, it's like a laborer in a factory who comes and has a nice job, earns a lot, and begins to be arrogant. And his manager terminates him and sends him away. And he takes a shirt, says, so what? And he gets out. He will not know the implication until he gets out on the street looking for another job and not finding one. Then he will see what he has lost. Do you follow me? By the time that Noah was born, it became apparent that man had learned what it was to have to toil. The Bible said they called him Noah, which means by this, God will comfort us from our toil because of the earth, the ground that God has caused. What you require, you can recall. Hallelujah. Now, before we proceed into other things, I want us to revisit the packaging that God did into us, which you said is spirit, soul, and body. We want to look at the functions of the different components of us. And if you haven't known them, I will allow you to look at the board there. What are the functions of your spirit? What are the things about you that are in your spirit? Oh yeah, tell me. Your spirit. Your spirit? Oh. You can read. Can't you read them? Intuition. Intuition, yes. Communion and conscience. So in your spirit, you have your intuition. We'll talk about it sometime in the future. And you have communion. And there you have conscience. Hallelujah. What about your soul? Your will. Your will has to do with making a choice. I will do, I will not do. You have made a choice. Okay? That is called the will. What next?
Mind.
Your mind. Your mind. That is where your intellect resides. And your reasoning. I was reasoning in my mind. I was thinking in my mind. Are you following me? Okay. That is resident in your soul. Consequently, when a man dies, when a man dies and his soul departs, his mind goes with him. Because your mind is not resident in your flesh. Your mind is actually resident in your soul. Are you with me now? So, when a man dies and he comes out of his body, wherever he goes, he will remember what he used to be on earth. Are you with me? You are going to remember things we used to do. You are going to remember the miracle center. Do you follow me? Because your mind goes with you, and you can still think. I think I probably mentioned the rich man last week. The rich man and Lazarus? The rich man remembered that he was on earth. He knew that he still had brothers there. He knew that his brothers were still living sumptuously and were likely to come to hell. And he did not want them to come to hell. Do you follow me? So he was pleading. Hallelujah. Because your mind goes with you. And you see, your emotions also go with you. Because he was feeling sorry for his brothers who are likely to come to hell. Hallelujah. Amen. And then your body. Okay, what do you have in your body? Flesh? What else? Bones. Different organs, fluids, blood, lymph, and so forth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Now, if your body only contains flesh, bones, and fluids. Okay? Does your body think?
No.
Your body does not think. Does your body make any decisions?
No.
Your body cannot make any decisions. Who makes the decisions in you? Your soul makes the decisions, right? Because that is where the will is resident. It is your soul that thinks. Have you?
Yes.
Where are we? Soul. Your intellect, your reasoning. Have you? It is your soul where the intellect is. It is your soul where reasoning takes place. And then your soul finally decides on what to do or what not to do. Praise the Lord. Once your soul has made up his mind, what comes out is your will or the choice that you have made as a result of your reasoning or thinking. Okay? That choice is your will. What you will do or what you will not do. Praise the Lord. Once you have expressed your will, the next thing is to carry it out. You use your body to carry it out. Praise the Lord. So if you say, oh, listen, I think I will go to Ibadan. Eh? My body cannot say, okay, Mr. Soul, you go, I'm not going. It's impossible. So, your body is just a mass of tissues. All of the things that we mentioned, flesh, they're tissues, bone, tissues, fluids, they're tissues, your blood, it's a tissue. Hallelujah. So your body is an obedient servant, a perfectly obedient servant. Your body never says no. If your soul decides to give me a slap now, even I have done nothing wrong, your hand will move and slap me. Do you follow me? Your hand would not say, what did he do? No, no questions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the things that we refer to as the deeds of the flesh are not actually determined by the flesh. They are actually the things that the soul wants to do, which he needs the flesh to accomplish. That is what we call the deeds of the flesh. Praise the Lord. The flesh by itself will not commit adultery, will not fornicate. It is your soul that desires it. And then your flesh doesn't say, but that is wrong. Your flesh doesn't say, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. If that will come, it will come from your spirit, conscience. Do you follow me? It will come from your conscience to remind your soul by putting it in your mind, remember, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then your soul will have to reason about it. When you want to do something, don't you think about it? You think about it. Do I do it? Do I not do it? You debate it. You decide whether to do or not to do. Frequently, the soul is a stubborn entity. He will want to please himself. And once your soul decides, I'll do it anyway, your body does not refuse. Praise the Lord. Your body will just go ahead and do it. So consequently, when a man dies, his body does not go for judgment. Because he was just a faithful servant, his body is laid to rest. Who goes for judgment? The soul must proceed for judgment. Because he gave all of the instructions. So the Bible said, Lazarus, like the rich man, died and was buried. And what happened? And his soul went to hell. Praise the Lord. So we get a picture of why things happen the way they happen. He died, his body was buried, and his soul went to hell. It is the soul that is judged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why do we pray like you think? Lord, soul and flesh was. Why do we pray like that? When it is not the flesh that is doing.
Well, I just told you, the flesh and the soul are linked. So if you pray for God to remove the deeds of the flesh from you, he will remove it at the level of your soul. Then the activities of your body will reflect a born-again person. We will come to that later when we discuss Nicodemus and Jesus. Okay, one thing to remember is that when your soul comes out of your body, they say that what has happened? What has happened? The person is dead. Sometimes I want the chorus, everybody just answering because, aha. So when your soul comes out of your body, they say the person is dead. But the whole body is still there. The whole body is still there, but cannot move because it is the soul that carries the body about. Oh, that's not the flesh, that's the body. So the soul has come out, and he is the one that was moving the body about. When he comes out, the body would, right now, if my own comes out, you will just see me go warm. It is the soul that's keeping you up, going. The mouth is still there. The voice box is still there, but he cannot talk. The eyes are looking like that, but they cannot see. The ears are still there, but they cannot hear. You follow me now? But if you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and that soul comes back into that body, you will see the eyes begin to see. And you see the man stand up again, begins to move about. Isn't it true?
Yes.
Okay. He begins to move about again, doing his activities again, because the soul has come back into the same body, and he has picked it up again. So the body is a housing for your soul, like an overall suit for your soul, given to you so that you can exist on planet Earth. It is called a terrestrial body, the body that you use to exist on Earth. If you go to the moon like this, with this body, you are not going to last 5 minutes. It is not made for the lunar surface. Do you follow me? If you go to most any other planet, as soon as they open and you come out, you are dying. This body is made for here. So when people have to go to the moon, they have to put a space suit on them to cover this whole body. And inside it will create an environment that is like Earth for this body to continue in while you are on the moon. If something destroys that overall coat, you are ready to die. And that is what happens here. If something destroys this body, which is used to exist on planet Earth, your soul is ready to also depart. Do you follow my point? He can no longer be here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Okay, we talked about all three of them, haven't we? The feeling, senses, desires, well, all of those. Okay, praise the Lord. So we got a review of what is in us, a spirit, soul, and body. And the thing is that your spirit communes with the Spirit of God, right? Your spirit communes with the Spirit of God. God talks to you through the Holy Spirit, your spirit, and then your spirit relays the message to your soul or your mind. Your soul has every power to refuse to do what the Spirit is saying to him, or what the conscience is also saying to him. Hallelujah. He can refuse, and then he will do what he wants to do. And we will see the reason for that later on, when I take another segment of this teachings. Praise the Lord. Now that we have explained this, let us go back to Genesis chapter 3. Man has sinned and man has fallen. Oh, don't worry, we are not reading. We're just looking at Genesis chapter 3. We are talking about events that happened there. Okay. So, man has fallen now, and we say the man is dead. He died. Somebody tell me some of the changes that will now take place in the man. What are the things that used to be, which will no longer be? Yes? Okay. We remember that when God said you shall surely die, he didn't say that this body will be buried. I think we said that. He said that they will die spiritually, which means they will not have communion with God. But I said they were still moving about. It was after that Adam knew his wife and they had kids. But that was a dead soul, not a living soul. The first thing that will happen, okay, I think she's closer to it. She said the spirit will depart. Yes. That's the first thing I wanted to hear. They lost contact with the Spirit of God. But if they have lost contact or communion with the Spirit of God, some other spirit must take over. Who takes over?
Satan.
That was where I stopped on Tuesday. What did I call him? That was where I stopped. I said, I mentioned him and I stopped. I said, we will stop here. That was on Tuesday. Yes. What? The power of darkness. The Spirit of God had illuminated you. Now he departs. What comes in, when you remove the light, what you get is darkness. Are you with me? What you get is darkness. So the power of darkness takes over because of a spiritual law, which says, you are the servants of whom you obey. I think we touched on that last week. So let us save that. You are the servants of whom you obey. So he takes over because you chose that he will be your master. Glory to God. From that point onwards, God said, Every imagination of the thought of the heart of man was continually evil. Man was full of devices, evil devices. Nobody taught Cain how to make a weapon and kill Abel. No man did. The devil did. You follow my point? The devil taught him how to do it. Before him, nobody had killed a man. So the devil said, look, I don't know what weapon he used. Maybe he used one big stick. You know, everything has to do with discovery, you know. You have to discover that if you hit a man with a stick, it will be painful. It's just that we grew into these things and we don't know that they were discoveries long ago. Hallelujah. So the devil took control as the power of darkness, and he controlled the activities of man. And man moved away completely from God. Now, remember the commission that God gave to Adam. What did God tell him to do? Do you remember? When God made him, what was his commission? Before that, be fruitful. One, and we said that fruit was of the Spirit. Abby? Be fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God. What next? Multiply, which refers to the production of children, reproduction, and do what?
Replenish
the earth. And we said that the reason that God used that sequence is because if you are not fruitful in the things of the Spirit of God and you begin to multiply, your offspring will not have the things of the Spirit of God, and you cannot replenish the earth with God-like people. Hallelujah. So after they fell in the Garden of Eden, you can see what happened. When the Spirit of God departed, they were replenishing the earth all right, but not with God-like people. They were replenishing the earth with people who were under the control of the power of darkness. May God help us. Okay, now, remember that your conscience resides in your spirit. Even in the fallen state, your conscience is still there. Hallelujah. Your conscience is still there. Somebody who is not born again has conscience. Are you with me now? An idol worshiper has conscience. The difference is that if you are born again, you don't violate your conscience. Are you with me now? You do not violate your conscience, at least not freely. But outside there, they know it, but they will do it. When a man who is an idol worshiper is planning or scheming to sleep with another man's wife, he knows that it is wrong. He knows. But he will do it because he is not getting an input from the Spirit of God. He will violate that conscience and he will proceed to do it. Hence, in the fallen state, there were a few people who still had some control over their conscience. Hallelujah. And so God was able to relate with a few people. Hallelujah. Okay. So what we get then is that inside of the individual, that is what we call inner conflict. Inner conflict. Where your conscience is saying, don't do. And your soul is saying, I want to do. So you get a debate going on in your mind from time to time. A lot of thoughts. Papa has talked about some of this. A lot of thoughts pass through your mind on a daily basis. Some of them come and you watch them all. Some of them come and you have to make a decision that is concrete. Some of them come and you have to act and do something about them. So there is inner conflict as you try to resolve issue. Hallelujah. James 2:26. For the body, without the spirit, is dead.
So
faith without works is dead also. Praise the Lord. Do you see that the spirit is what makes you a living soul? Hallelujah. That the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. So when you are not relating with the Spirit of God through your spirit, your activities are activities of the dead soul. Hallelujah. Going about doing the wrong things and not really bothering. Praise the Lord. Now, with this, look at our makeup, the way that we are made up, and knowing the relationship between our spirit, soul, and body, we are going to launch into another phase of this teaching, which is about the concept of the kingdom. What is a kingdom? Next time, we're going to look into what a kingdom really is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a clap of. Hallelujah. Amen. Are there any questions? Questions, comments? Questions, comments? Some years ago, I was teaching, and I was talking about these things, relationship between spirit, soul, and body. And I was saying that it is your soul that carries your body about, just what I have said today. When you lift up your hand, the hand of your soul is there. Do you follow me? I said, if somebody has an accident and he is amputated, you no longer see the whole hand because the thing that is covering the hand of your soul has been removed. But the hand of your soul is still there in the empty space. Are you with me? The hand of your soul is still there. If they cut it here, we can see up to here, but we won't see anything from here because what lets us see has been removed, the flesh. But if your eyes would open, you will still see the full hand of the soul. That one cannot be cut off with carnal instruments. There was a nurse sitting there. And the nurse then raised up her hand and said, thank God. Now I understand. How many nurses are here? Nurse. I don't know if you were orthopedic nurses at any time. But she had been an orthopedic nurse. A nurse that works with bones and things. You follow my point? Okay. She said, amputees, people who have been amputated hand or leg. She said some of them say that they seem to have some feeling outside of the area that still remains in the place that has been cut off. They seem to have some sense of feeling there. She said, thank God, now I understand. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, I believe that all wisdom is in the Word of God. All knowledge is in the Word of God. The only thing is that we haven't got a revelation of the whole thing yet. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Anybody have a question? Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You talk about the spirit of God, of me, the spirit of God.
Yes.
Now, when something like God loves to communicate to you about something, like an assignment.
Yeah.
Now, after a period of time, some other things pass by, and you tend to like, you can't reach up to that message back. Maybe it goes out of your attention, or like that. What
yeah.
Be responsible for that?
You forgot.
Then, now, because I always believe that the Spirit of God is to remind us of what's of the past.
Yes.
So, how do one get hold of it?
But we also have some responsibilities. The prophets of old, when God spoke to them, what did they do? They wrote it down. They wrote it down. God said, the vision will yet be fulfilled. He says, write down the vision. Have you? Say, write down the vision because it will yet come to pass. It will not tarry. God said, write it down. Praise the Lord. So when God talks to you, write it down. Okay, you forgot because you didn't write it down. I keep notebooks. I write down the revelation that I see. Sometimes I will just go and begin to read, and I'm reminded of certain things. There are some that I don't write, but I write as much as I need to write. And I begin, some that I remember faintly. When I go back to read, I remember the detail, because as soon as it happens, I'm writing it down. The detail is still there. Okay. What is the food that your body eats? You eat carnal food. What is the purpose of the food that you eat? It lets you grow. It gives you strength to carry out activities. Have it? You rebuild your tissues, and so on and so forth. What is the food that your soul eats? What about your spirit?
Your soul?
What about your spirit?
My spirit is the word of God.
Okay.
And your soul?
Your soul.
CNN.
Did you ever say, let me feed my eyes with... Abi, what does feeding your eyes mean? It means... seeing or reading or... Abi? Okay. A feed implies some kind of intake or diet, Abi?
Yes.
But it is not the food that you chew. Papa said CNN, NTA, when you are watching CNN, Abi? So you are sending things into your mind, building up the intellect. Abi? You are confused. Okay. You go to school. And you refer to academics as intellectual. Have you? Intellectual. And the intellect resides where? Where?
In
your soul. So you're filling your soul with intellectual materials. Have you? Okay. Any other questions? Come in. Say that again. She said, how do you place worship praises? The things that you do to glorify God. And she said emotions. She is partly right. Where will your emotions lie? Well, okay, look at it again.
Soul.
In your soul, you have emotions.
Do you
know that some of the things that we do together are emotional? And I tell people, don't be so emotional. We all have emotions. Jesus had it. Do you follow my point? But what Jesus said to the woman at the well of Jacob was that the time has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father. How? Spirit and truth. You see, before the coming of the Lord, remember, before Jesus came, man was separated from God. Everything that God was doing in the wilderness was to give them things to do by reason of religion. Do you follow my point? By reason of religion. When Jesus says, the time has now come, it means that before now, people were not really worshiping in spirit. The time has come. Thank God we can worship in spirit. In those days, it was a few people by God's special dispensation who received the Holy Spirit. Do you follow me? If you were anointed king, if you were anointed priest, prophet, do you follow my point? Otherwise, the masses could worship from their souls. Soulish worship. You can pray from your soul. Soulish prayer. Do you follow my point? Today, some people who are born again spirit filled still pray from their souls. Oluwa, gbogbo ta mi, kina ma jowo. You know, the Spirit of God will never move you to say that. That one is coming from your soul, your flesh. Do you follow my point? Katuwa shefumi, Oluwa, Lord, my enemies, fire. Let fire destroy my enemies. Let them fall down and die. See, that kind of prayer is from your soul. You are reacting according to how you feel in your flesh. Do you follow me? The Holy Spirit will never move you to say a prayer that is different from what Jesus told you to say. He says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. That is what Jesus said. That is what the Holy Spirit can do in you. So you can bypass him to pray from your soul. But better if you don't. Are you okay? Yeah. Glory to God. Yes, ma'am.
There was somebody who prayed against the demon.
Yes.
The boss is not there when. So, I said, pray against you. You better help you. So, if you know about it, you know about saying it.
Yes.
I said, you know, to separate
you. Okay.
What is the one you separate from you?
Okay.
Say, come on, sir. You have to separate from you.
Daddy. But Jesus on it. She said that it is in the Bible that Jesus got angry. That is correct. But she said that Jesus cursed people. That is not correct. He did not curse. He told them simple facts. Woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes. See, Jesus is God. You follow my point? If you tell somebody, woe unto you, how do you know? Do you follow me? And he was only saying it if they did not change. He was telling them the evil that they were doing. And people who do such things cannot receive God's blessing on top of it. If you can do evil and get God's blessing, who needs to change? Nobody needs to change. So he was not cursing them. He was telling them spiritual facts. But when he got angry, for example, in the temple, when he got a cane and whipped the people, that was righteous anger. He was not angry because somebody was walking and looking backwards and hit him, and he got angry and said, you know that kind of thing. No, that was not it. That was righteous anger. He was angry because they were defiling the temple of God. I was talking in the United States sometime, and I told them this story. I was talking about love. And you know, love does not get angry just sporadically. And I told them about a lady that I once got very angry at when I was in Ghana. I had ministered to her, for so God gave me the patience to walk with her. And God had really blessed her. Her life had changed completely. She was still changing, though. We were still in the process, working gradually. And then one day, she came to me and she told me that one pastor who had come to our church to minister one Sunday before came to her house and tried to rape her. Yes, he was a pastor. Of course, I reported to the church. We called him and we sat down. Anyway, forget about him. Let's talk about her. And when you bring such a case, I have to ask you a question. I started to ask questions. And my conclusion was that you have come to report him to me, but whatever he did with you, you permitted. So, why have you come to report him to me, saying that you permitted what he did? I'm not saying that it is good for him to come to your house 12 midnight. Moreover, I said, you live in one room. Somebody lives in the next room. Did you shout? Because under the law, God said, if a woman says that a man raped her, and it was in the city where there were people, then it is no rape, because she could have shouted. But if it happened out on the field, where nobody could help her, then it is rape. Do you follow my point? So I told her, I said, there are people all around you in the house. Did you shout? Will a woman be ashamed to shout when somebody wants to rape you? No. Because nobody hearing your voice and coming will say, you are a bad woman. All they can do is praise you. Do you follow my point? But he did not threaten her. But if you shout on time, he won't be able to. You see, if there are people around, if you shout, I'll kill you. But you shout anyway, then he knows that people have heard. The only thing he can now do is run. I can understand if he took a gun and put it on your head, because some people are crazy enough, or put a knife on your throat. In that case, God also understands. So I said, why did you come to report him to me, saying that you agreed with what he did? Then she now told me. She said she thought she would come and tell me because she knew that I would know anyway. She knew that I would know anyway. So she quickly came to tell me, and she was right. The night that it was happening, I was sleeping, and I started to see a revelation, dreaming. And I saw myself ministering to her, and suddenly she started to stink to me, and I had to take my hands off her. And as I opened my eyes, I heard the word sex. And I said, sex? The lady that I'm talking about, Papa knows her, Sister Mary knows her, some people here know, they know her. I said, what about sex? And then in the morning, she came to tell me this story. You follow my point? So I said, why did you know that I would know? And then apparently something had happened, not as bad before, and the Lord will let me know. And I asked her. She nearly fainted. She said she remembered that one time when she met with this one German, a white man, at night, she remembered that I knew, and I asked her. So before I would ask her, she quickly came to tell me. I got very angry at her for the manipulation. And I told her, listen, she used to be a prostitute. And I said, listen, if what you want to be is a prostitute, I said, go. I said, go. Don't waste my time. Go be a prostitute. And I got very angry. And I told people, listen, I didn't get angry because she offended me. There was no offense to me. The sin was against her body and against her God. It had nothing to do with me. You follow my point? To me, that was righteous anger, because I was angry for her salvation, not because she did something to me that I want to avenge. She didn't offend me personally. And I got so mad at her, she wrote a letter to my partner that we were living together. She said, please, please beg Dr. Keller for me. I have never seen him get angry. You follow my point? Because after a few days, it was over. I mean, when God chastens you, he draws you to himself again. But he lets you know. So after a few days, it was over. And it was after that she even came to Nigeria, and so on and so forth. So you can get angry. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Do you follow my point? So be angry, but sin not. That is when people offend you. I said, this one, my anger lasted for more than one sunset, because she didn't offend me. I was jealous for her. Do you follow me? For her salvation, her body, the temple of God. That was it. Okay, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am, the last one. Hallelujah. Okay, just wait. Yes, ma'am.
First, I'm concerning you, something of enemies. So therefore, who will say something like this? Who also is my enemies for talking to you? If you not treat me,
no, that is you. That is you. You're cursing them because of you. You cannot curse, you cannot sentence somebody to hell. Judgment is not in your hands. This is what I'm saying. You cannot decide that if somebody had told Saul, woe unto you because you are killing the Christian, if somebody had sentenced him to hell, do you follow my point? Would he have been right? Because God was going to make him a vessel unto honor. You are not God. You cannot say that. Such utterances are in the flesh, not in the spirit. Okay. Well, it's okay. If you want to say woe unto the devil, it's okay. The devil already knows. If you want to tell him again, fine, but he already knows that he is finished. Woe unto him already. If you enjoy telling him again, that is okay. Now, if you want to tell him again, that is okay, but he knows that. Praise the Lord. Yes, the last one. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. She said there are some pastors who lead the prayer and they are telling you to command the fire of the Spirit to consume your enemies. You will either do the will of your pastor or do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. You decide who your master is. Okay? So you have to divide, you have to decide who is your master. And then you do what he says. If I have a pastor who is working himself to hell, I should not follow him there. Okay. Yes. But my people do perish for lack of knowledge. They perish for lack of knowledge. Please remember, no such talks. So that is why we are teaching now, so that knowledge is imparted unto you, and you do not have to follow the shepherds who are missing the way. That is the essence of our teachings. Never you rise up and ask that God will destroy your enemies. Pray for them. Yes. Okay. She says, if you are not supposed to curse your enemies, what prayer do you say for your enemies? Somebody tell me. Yes. You pray that the Lord will touch them and change their hearts. Convert them. Let them know the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. When your enemies change, they won't bother you anymore. I was talking to some little children. I said, when you go to school and somebody troubles you, I said, if you abuse them in return, will they stop abusing you? They said no, because he will return his own again. They said no. I said, if you pray for them that God will let them know Jesus, if they know Jesus, will they continue to trouble you? They said no. If little children can understand that, why can't we? It is you are reacting to your flesh. That is all. Okay. Yes, please.
And our understanding the Christian life.
Yes.
That God says we should not be fighting, we should not force, we should not do this and do that. But I was opportune to be on Lamentation sometimes.
Yes.
And as we started reading this, I took interest to such an extent I started crying. What must have these people done?
Mm-hmm.
That God taught by this today.
Yeah.
And if it happened in that way, I think the writer of the book shouldn't have even included all these things in here. Because not only Christians read this Bible, but the other people have they been referring to it that how many? But ultimately, I could see a Christian. Man, if father to be fooled by them, so I have to call his attention. Baba, no, I will go cooking. One man is kilo, 3 kilo, shame. Although he was able to explain to his own understanding, but nobody else is still about me in that. So why do you have such practice?
Well, okay. She's wondering why God used such tough words to pronounce judgment on Judah. Referred to in the book of Lamentation, okay? Because of their sins. And I have just said it today. God can pronounce judgment, but you cannot. You cannot. The fact that you saw something that was said or done in the days of old does not mean that you can do it, because we are not under the same covenant. We are not under the same dispensation. So when Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he would say, you know that it was said to them of old, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say to you, but means from now on, it is different. And you do not put new wine into old wine skin. Are you following me? You don't put new wine into old wine skin. It is new for new. Are you following me? Okay. Glory to God. Mama Maria is the last one. Everybody wants to be the last one. Yes, that was okay. Well, he was talking about a tree that was not productive. I understand. Okay. He's asking, why did Jesus say of the tree, cut it down, because it is just bearing leaves, it's not bearing fruit. He says, was Jesus talking about people? Yes. But that is judgment again. He can pass judgment. He's talking about when judgment comes, the unproductive person will be destroyed. And we all know that. Praise the Lord. Let bow our heads now before somebody else raises up her hand. Let everybody pray now. Let's give thanks to God. Let's bless the Lord for these things that we have shared. I want you to look at those aspects of you that contradict the will of God. Do you say destructive prayers? It never works out well. For some time, you may enjoy it, but the repercussion can be bad. So repent from it. Ask the Lord to forgive you for the destructive prayers that you have said. I normally don't refer to them as prayers. I refer to them as witchcraft. It is actually witchcraft. The things that witches do, that is what you do when you're calling fire to destroy people. And you're asking arrows to go and pierce their hearts. That is what witches do. But we are children of God. We must behave like our Father who is in heaven, blessing upon the good and the evil, that you may be like your Father who is in heaven. Thank you, Father. Is there somebody here who is not born again? You have not given your life to Jesus and you want to do so today. Will you please raise up your hand and I'll pray for you before I take my seat. Anybody? Anybody?
Let us see. Honorable. I do perform my prayer that I I
Hallelujah. Amen.